This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
You are listening to the Business Breakfast, something of a Business Breakfast special podcast. It's the bite-sized Business Breakfast, the day after the storms. This, the best bits from Wednesday, April the 17th. Obviously, April the 16th, 2024, will go down in the history books of the UAE. It's the day that the country experienced the most rain it has ever had on record, since records began back in 1949. So, a bit of a special for us to see how the country had dealt with the unprecedented weather formations and what impact it would have on businesses moving forward. Obviously, we looked at it from an insurance point of view. Paolo Ogno is the head of claims from GIG Gulf. He joined us to give a little heads up as to what businesses and individuals could expect when it came to their insurance claims. We looked at it from a maintenance point of view. A number of properties and businesses have suffered damage as a result of these storms and the water accumulation. Luke O'Brien, he's the head of ops for Octopus, a maintenance company here in Dubai. Just how busy have they been and what sort of nature of the business they've been called out for? We also spoke to Avanish Babur, who is the managing partner, Afya Insurance Brokerage Services. Again, getting a bit more of a take on all things insurance and the potential layouts, the potential claims we could see as a result of the storms. Plus, Tim Corden joined us. He's the boss of Radisson Hotel Group and Naila Penderovsky of Rove Expo. Why? Because we got a few reports yesterday. A lot of people just had to sort of give up trying to get from A to B. Either left their car on the side of the road or obviously it had been submerged and they decided it was just better, easier for them to stay at a hotel nearby. Was that the case? Just how busy were hotels? And what have they done to help out all those in need? Talking of those in need, Paul Griffiths has been on hand along with his team at Dubai Airports to help those in need. Paul spoke to us 2 days on the trot about the impact that the rains and the storms were having on operations at Dubai Airports. That really came to a head on the evening of the 16th. And in fact, we got an update from Paul this morning talking about just how many of the services have been impacted, number of people not being able to get into the airport, a lot of people not being able to get out of the airport just because of the amount of rain. So what impact was that going to have on services? What could he predict and what was being done at the time? Add to that all the thoughts of another CEO, the CEO of Spinneys, Sunil Kumar, who was originally booked to talk about the Spinneys IPO. We get on to that in just a little while. But first up, we had to ask him about how Spinneys and the Spinneys business had been affected by the rains. Were all stores operational or had a few had to close temporarily? That's just a few of the bits you can expect right here on the Bite Size Business Breakfast Podcast.
In what was the big news of the week, Spinneys announcing its long-awaited IPO in the last 24 hours. We're speaking to the CEO, Sunil Kumar. Sunil, good morning. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
I say it used to be the big news. You have been eclipsed somewhat. The weather has quite literally stolen your thunder, and that's where I need to start this morning. How are you doing over at Spinneys in terms of your stores and in terms of your staff?
Definitely 4 or 5 stores we had to close down for customers. But otherwise, other stores are functioning. Some of the staff who worked overnight and they have to stay until the next shift comes. So we will provide all the securities for them.
Okay, let me ask you about those stores, Sunil, just before we get going. Are stores closed today? And if so, which ones?
Yeah, one is in Maidan, the head office store. One is in Business Bay. A couple of Sharjah stores, this Bin Sugat store, as well as one Ajmai store.
And how long will they remain closed?
Probably I have to, I don't think that I will be able to open today. Probably in the evening, we will try to open for customers.
And for your staff, are they able to get in? What's happening there?
So most of the staff who came yesterday, they stayed overnight. And the next shift, wherever it is possible, they will be coming over. So the night staff who stayed and they are continuously serving the customers if the next shift couldn't come in. So they will continue doing it.
Are you able to get food deliveries in Sunil? Is everything okay stock-wise?
No, we had a problem from because our logistics is in Kisad in Abu Dhabi. So most of the deliveries had a problem. But we unfortunately, we had enough stock on ambient and other more shelf-life products. We had a problem in the production unit, which is in Jebel Ali. We had an issue yesterday. But we will be able to get the stock in time. Probably in the afternoon, we should be able to get the stock into the stores.
So your shelves are fine?
Yeah.
Okay, we are actually talking to you this morning about your IPO. It won't be the last time that we do it before you go live on the 23rd. Let's have a look at the growth story for Spinneys. Why does it make sense for Spinneys to go public now?
You know, this is a local story, and this is the right time for us to invite investors to be a part of the growth story. In fact, we had a very solid, robust financial performance in the past. And this is a rare business going to be in public with a growth story as well as a very good dividend, 70% of the dividend policy.
You've announced quite a lot of expansion as part of this IPO. One is store expansion. How much bigger could you get here in the UAE?
So one of the important factors for our growth to ensure that we will grow like-for-like growth. And at the same time, store expansion, looking at the economic activities of UAE, we see a great potential for going forward to have additional stores. The white space landscape is much larger for us in UAE. At the same time, we are looking at Saudi market. We are going to Saudi in 2024. Second quarter, we will be opening our first store in Riyadh, and thereafter, three more stores in Saudi.
You're also looking at a food production facility. While we are talking about things like logistics and controlling the supply chain, how much of your own food will you be able to produce and label?
We have two production units. One is a protein production unit, and another one is bread and a dairy production unit. Now, we wanted to expand that facility. We have signed with the Food Valley. There is a government initiative. They are bringing the food production facilities. It is called Food Valley. We have signed. We are going to have a 50,000 square meter production unit there to ensure that we will have enough space for our growth opportunities, which we are going to grow probably within 5 years' time. We will have 100 more stores from UAE as well as in Saudi Arabia.
And of course, we're asking these questions because people looking to potentially buy into the IPO will be interested in where revenues and profit in the future is going to come from. One of the things that you are looking at is a hyper-local e-commerce platform, Spinneys Swift. Are we talking super fast deliveries there? Are we talking sort of, you know, getting things to people in half an hour?
You know, Brandy, we did not have a delivery system until 2019. And we started 2019, our online convenience offer for customers. Now we have reached almost 13% of the revenue from online. At the same time, customers still wanted to have a convenience, a hyperlocal delivery system. We are building a Spinneys Swift at the same time.
How swift could that be?
Within 45 to 60 minutes, that's what we are looking at.
Across the city?
Across the city. In Dubai City and Abu Dhabi.
You talk a lot about in the details that you've released for this IPO about your market share. You've got a lot of competition coming in, though, from lower cost competitors. How do you plan to keep that market share? I've got about 30 seconds left with you.
So Spinneys is a very unique business model. We sell 85% of our revenue is coming from food related. Out of 62% is a fresh food. So we are a fresh food retailer. We ensure that the quality which we offer to our customers are intact. So to do that, we have to have our own sourcing capability. We have a fantastic supply chain, a robust supply chain capabilities. We have an international sourcing. We have our own production unit. So we are offering a fresh food to our customers. So we do not have, compete with a national packaged goods. Our private label is almost a 42% participation, which is called Spinneys Food, Spinneys Wellness, and Spinneys Home. So that's what we are catering. That's what our value proposition, and that's what our uniqueness.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. The CEO of Spinneys, CEO Sunil Kumar, speaking to us not just about their IPO plans, but about how Spinneys has fared in the storm. Some stores shut today.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
As we know, a number of industries going through challenging times at the moment, none more so than the world of aviation. Let's cross now down to DXB, to the headquarters of Dubai Airports, and speak to the CEO of Dubai Airports. Kindly spoke to us yesterday ahead of the main storms yesterday evening and can now report on the latest developments down at DXB and the other airports here in Dubai. Paul Griffiths joining us live on the line. Morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Tom. And I wish I could say it was a better morning than it is, unfortunately.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much indeed. I know you are snowed under at the moment with requests, etc. So I really appreciate your time this morning just to update those looking to get to and from the airport. Let's talk operations first and foremost. We saw a couple of reports coming out last night about a couple of delays or certainly restrictions with regards to takeoffs and landings. What are operations looking like at the airport this morning?
Well, currently, one of the largest problems is access to and from the airport is extremely challenging. And my primary advice to customers who are hoping to travel is to check with the airline, look at the website, and don't actually depart for the airport unless the airline confirms that you should do so. The roads around the airport, unsurprisingly, are blocked. We're having difficulty getting people out of the airport that have arrived. So that, I think, is perhaps our biggest challenge. Within the airport perimeter itself, flooding to some of our stands continues to be a problem, and we are now full with aircraft, and we're having to operate a strict one-in, one-out philosophy because there's nowhere to park these aircraft as they're arriving and departing. So we've got multiple diversions. DWC is also similarly full with arriving aircraft that have been diverted from DXB. Some airlines are experiencing problems with crew duty hours, trying to get aircraft mobilized. I have to say, everyone around the airport, the emergency services, all of our partners, the RTA, Dubai Taxi, they're all cooperating magnificently in a superhuman effort to get operations back to normal as quickly as possible. But it remains an incredibly challenging time. This, I think, is an unprecedented weather event. Records began about 75 years ago, and in living memory, I don't think anyone has ever seen conditions like it. So we are in uncharted territory, but I can assure everyone we're working as hard as we possibly can to make sure our customers and staff are looked after, they're given food and refreshments, and hopefully we'll get on our way and everyone on their way and get our operations back to normal. But it could take some time.
I know that you liaise closely with a number of the resident airlines here in Dubai and, of course, those operating out of DXB and the other airports as well. We had news from Fly Dubai yesterday of suspension of all departing flights until 10 a.m. this morning. We're following up with them to see whether that still stands true. Emirates equally obviously having to look at their scheduling at present. Is that something that is fluid at the moment in terms of when we can expect full operations back up and running?
Well, the difficulty is, of course, stand availability. Yeah. We've got so many aircraft that are parked, including on our taxiways, and some of the stands were flooded, and we've had 22 tankers within the airport perimeter clearing all the flooding. And now I think the primary problem is aircraft out of position and the lack of available crews to be able to move them into position. So it's going to take a while. Fly Dubai have, in fact, as you said, Tom, suspended operations or departures till 10 a.m. to allow them to get their aircraft back into position. I think the key for everyone is look at the airline website. That will have details of departure. Dubai Metro is actually up and running. That was back up and running at 5 a.m. That's probably the best way to get to and from the airport if your flight is departing or arriving. So I would imagine that that would be the best way. Taxis, obviously, having huge challenges across the city. So it's a little difficult to be able to give any accurate predictions of how long it's going to take to get everything back to normal. But I can assure everyone we are working as hard and quickly as we possibly can to clear the backlog.
Paul, can I ask what you're doing with those who have been in the airport overnight to look after them and make them comfortable? I've got hoteliers this morning talking about having difficulties getting food deliveries into hotels because obviously staff everywhere are affected. What have you seen with people who have been in the airport overnight and what are you able to do and the challenges in looking after them?
Well, we've worked with our on-site hotel team and we've worked with all of our restaurants, bars and retail partners, and they've been magnificent. We are actually handing out refreshments and food to people who are stuck in the airport at the moment. We will obviously prioritise the welfare of our customers and staff and make sure that everyone, you know, is kept from going hungry or thirsty. But getting supplies to and from the airport are similarly challenging. So we're working very hard to ease those logistics. You know, as you know, Brandy, customer care is our absolute number one priority. And we will make sure that we prioritise everything to look after people and, of course, get people on their way as soon as we possibly can.
Do you have enough staff in there at the moment, Paul?
We think we have enough staff. Certainly the stakeholders are working extremely hard. People are doing double shifts. They're staying up all night. I think the problem will be if this carries on for a long, long time. You know, clearly some people are going to have to take a break. They just can't be superhumans for more than 24 hours without sleep. So that is a concern, obviously, but we will obviously do everything we can to get things back to normal and make sure everyone is looked after.
You mentioned a little bit earlier on, Paul, about the diversion of flights. Last thing that the CEO of Dubai Airports wants to be doing but needs must on occasions like this. Obviously, we talked yesterday about the significant passenger numbers that come through DXB. In terms of the diversion as well, we know this is a storm that's hit the whole of the UAE. From your colleagues at other airports, are they having similar issues at the moment as well?
Well, obviously, they haven't had quite the concentration of weather disruption that we've experienced at DXB. But obviously, aircraft out of position across the region and across the world is a significant issue, particularly for Emirates with the long-haul nature of their operations. We've still got large numbers in the terminals. Terminal 1, we've got 500 people waiting for taxis and buses, 700 in T2 and 1,500 in T3 at the moment. We're getting catering supplies through to T2 and T1, and we're waiting for T3 supplies to be delivered. They should be arriving any moment now. And DWC, similarly, we're catering for people there. So it's obviously an incredible challenge, and I think things are moving. We will start to get more aircraft out, which enables us to get more aircraft in. We've actually used some of the taxiways to park aircraft, and we've had dispensation to use some stands on the Royal Air Wing to park aircraft temporarily. So, you know, everyone's doing everything they possibly can, and we will prioritise getting, you know, the show back on the road as fast and as quickly as we can and to look after our customers.
Paul, bless you. You mentioned earlier about a number of your employees giving their time, pulling double shifts. I'm sure that you are leading from the front on that. I'm not sure how much sleep you've had since we spoke yesterday, but bless you. Thanks so much indeed for taking time to put us in the picture. All the best to you and your team to get that show back on the road. We have great faith, and a big thanks to Paul Griffiths, the CEO of Dubai Airports, for joining us live on the show.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
We are going to catch a man before he hops on a plane to find out what many people did yesterday, many companies did, booking hotels for their staff to be nearer to work, people taking refuge when they couldn't drive any further. Tim Corden is the COO for the Middle East and Africa at Radisson Hotel Group. Tim, good morning. How are you doing?
Just made it to the airport. Interesting journey, I'd say.
How long did it take you?
About an hour from Jumeirah Gulf Estate. So, whilst it was pretty treacherous, Yeah, we found our way, so it was okay.
Okay, I'm keen to chat to you just for a few minutes before you board a flight to find out what you have seen at the Radissons. We know from phoning around hotels last night, and indeed I bumped into one hotelier on my walk to work this morning, that a lot of companies and individuals were just stopping and checking in. What have you seen?
Yeah, absolutely that. You use the word unprecedented, and I think that's the right word, isn't it? Whenever we see these kind of extreme weather situations, and in this time it was rain in the UAE, but of course we've faced it in other parts of the world with snow and so on, the first thing we do is we fix our rates. So we don't increase rates. So there's no kind of taking advantage of that situation. So we just keep the rates that we had in any case for that day. And we try and help people as much as we can. Last night, yes, we did have a lot of people coming into the hotels and walking in and looking for shelter. But we also had a lot of people that couldn't make it who had made reservations and cancelled. So on balance, we did, I think, a little bit higher occupancy than we expected. But it was by no means kind of a bumper windfall for us. And really, the focus was on looking after people and taking care of our guests, but also our teams, who also needed to get to and from work and be safe in that.
Those who did check in unexpectedly, should we say, how have you accommodated them? Run on toothbrushes?
Well, yeah, we have amenity kits, and we can look after people. We've got the essentials, let's say. So we're kind of used to that and happy to do it.
And what did they say to you about why they were checking in? What stories have you heard?
A variety, but I spoke to a few of the hotel general managers yesterday, and primarily it was just getting stranded. You know, couldn't get a taxi, or car, there's no way of getting out of the car park, or they tried to, but it got stuck on a roundabout that was underwater, that kind of thing, and then just walked to the hotel. And I know, I'm sure we've all seen the WhatsApp groups, but I know a lot of people were walking home and spent hours and hours kind of traipsing across Dubai to get home last night. And I know there was some good Samaritans out there as well, you know, in big 4x4s helping people. So it's great to see when a city like this comes together, isn't it?
So it is indeed. I had someone stop and offer to drive me in on my way this morning as well. Tell me, just before we let you go, Tim, what kind of occupancy would you be on at the moment then? Obviously not asking that from a revenue point of view, but just to try and get an idea.
Mid-90s. Something like that. So pretty full. But then we expected to be kind of up there anyway. So it's been a good season for us. And it was positive, but I'm not taking it to the bank. Let's say that.
Absolutely understood. Right, safe journeys. Tim Corden, Chief Operating Officer for the Radisson Hotel Group in the Middle East and Africa. And we are speaking to Nila Penderovsky as the Hotel Manager from Rove Expo City. Nila, good morning. Thanks for joining us. We're well. We are here in a slightly more adventurous way than we are used to. Tell us what you guys have seen at Rove, Nila.
Well, basically, we've seen a lot of people seeking refuge, as you just said. So we provided tea, coffees, towels, wherever we could in all of our hotels to give shelter. We've seen people just pulling off the road and saying it's better to stay overnight and wait it out. So we had some people additionally staying. We also heard from airports, of course, some flights could not take off. So we had some inquiries about that. And then others just simply just waited it out until it was safe to go back out on the road.
Okay, so effectively you're providing shelter for people during the day into the evening. How full are your hotels at the moment? I ask that not from a revenue point of view, but to try and get an idea of what it's meant for people checking in and being able to get a room.
Basically, all hotels are full. We kept some rooms as well for our teams to make sure that we had hands on deck in case of emergencies, which were not needed, thankfully. But they were there on standby. They were amazing yesterday. In all hotels, we heard really nice stories of people just taking care of people in cases like this.
Okay, and where particularly have you seen the busyness? You say all hotels, but obviously you've got some inner city hotels, people trying to get off the roads and get into those.
That, but also we've seen this in my hotel at Expo. I think if people were going from and to Abu Dhabi, they said in between, I come off the road and we know Rove Expo, we just stay there. And it was the good news was all our roads were accessible. Expo City did a great job keeping those clear for us. So we had no accessibility issues throughout the day and night.
And of course, we are expecting more of this weather today. What have you put in place with your team to make sure that you can take care of guests in the same way today?
We just continue with what we were doing. So we will continue being there for our guests, providing food and shelter. We continue having teams on standby. And we are, of course, hoping for the best today.
Nila Penderovsky, the hotel manager of Rove Expo City.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Oh, where we are still talking water this morning, looking at it now from an insurance angle. We're very pleased to be joined on the line now by Avinash Baba, who's managing partner at AFIA Insurance Brokerage Services, better known as insurancemarket.ae. Yes, this is Alfred. Avinash, good morning. It's nice to speak to you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Right, let's put this in some kind of context for us. How big a deal could the last 24-odd hours be in terms of insurance claims?
Yeah, look, from the videos that have been going around, from anecdotal coverage, we know that it's pretty much unprecedented. It looks like a lot of cars have been grounded in the middle of roads. So the immediate priority is kind of getting the cars back out away from the roads and yeah, it looks like it's going to be very, very busy in terms of insurance claims.
Okay, well, let's start with cars and work our way up, if you like. What do policies normally cover when it comes to weather events?
Right, so you have a natural perils coverage that could be there in your car insurance policy, but it isn't always there. So when you're buying your car insurance policy, first and foremost, you've got to look for natural perils extension. Now, with regards to that, it doesn't mean that you can recklessly drive into puddles of water or try to switch on your engine when your car is submerged. You know, the principle of loss minimization does apply when it comes to insurance. You've got to be careful and not make things worse. So that's something to be wary of.
Who would get to decide that, Avinash? Because a lot of people either won't have experience at all, and I put my hand up here, for driving in these kind of floodwaters, and will just be doing whatever they can do to get out of the water. Who decides if they're minimizing loss or not?
Yeah, you're right. So look, generally speaking, up until now, because rain damage hasn't been what it has been like this year, insurance companies have tended to try and support most claims unless there is a clear, you know, visible scenario of reckless driving. But, you know, now given the frequency of claims increasing, some insurers have actually resorted to just saying, look, as long as the car is parked, we'll cover flood damage. But if someone's actually driving into water and that causes an accident, we're not going to cover that. So it's still a bit of a gray area. Nobody decides for sure, but we've you know, you've got to read the wordings of your policy and make sure that, you know, in any case, if you are driving, you know, you shouldn't be driving through puddles, and in such times, you know, you've got to try and avoid driving as much as possible. You've got to try and work from home or whatever the case may be.
Are you suggesting that there's a lower chance of claims being honored if cars are actually moving rather than parked? I mean, a lot of people are not going to have a lot of choice about that.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, you know, it's a tough one. I think the insurance system is under a lot of pressure this year. So, you know, whilst we are trying with our clients and our insurance company partners to, you know, have as much cleared off as possible, the system is under pressure and there are a lot of claims to deal with. It's been pretty much the worst year UAE insurance companies have ever seen when it comes to car insurance. So, you know, you know, we need to be very, very careful here, because on the other hand, the concern is that, you know, car insurance inflation will continue to ramp up and, you know, increase prices. So as far as consumers are concerned, don't drive unless, you know, you absolutely have to, and certainly don't be adventurous with these puddles. You know, as we could see yesterday, a lot of cars were just stranded in the middle of roads.
When you say it's been a bad year for the insurance industry, Avinash, what do you mean?
So the kind of rains we've had this year have been significantly worse from an insurance claims perspective than previous years. This has increased claims. And then, you know, as you know, insurance companies buy reinsurance. Reinsurance costs have started going up. And, you know, anecdotally, some insurers have expressed challenges in being able to, you know, renew their excess of loss treaties. And so, you know, it's all an ecosystem. And, you know, ultimately, the premium that you pay for car insurance needs to be able to fund the cost of all the claims. And at the moment, unfortunately, it looks like that's a bit of a challenge.
What are you suggesting there? Are you suggesting that claims might be harder to make or less likely to be honoured because the industry's had a bad year?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, generally speaking, contrary to, you know, what some people may consider popular belief, insurance companies try to pay out as much as possible, you know, because it's a good marketing mechanism for them, right? Nobody wants their claim rejected. But when you have a situation of, you know, crisis, then, you know, that's when, you know, more policy documents start getting opened up and more questions get asked. So, you know, what we have been trying to communicate to all our customers is that, you know, be extremely careful. We're still seeing a lot of stuff on social media about reckless driving, you know, people driving straight into puddles and some of them actually turning up and making insurance claims. And, you know, that's where the concern is. You know, it's not when there is a genuine case of, you know, an accident, or you know, somebody's car getting submerged in the basement or at a parking, but it's more about people driving recklessly when they don't have to, you know, speeding through puddles and things like that. So that's where the concern is. So whilst, you know, insurance companies and brokers like us are keen to support clients as much as possible, there is that concern that, you know, there is an unprecedented number of claims. And so we're trying to pass the message out that don't drive unless you absolutely have to. Don't just take it for a given that, you know, the insurance company will certainly cover your water-related claim, no matter how you drive or what you do.
What kind of level of calls, and I realise that you guys are the platform here at insurancebroker.ae, you're the broker, as it were, but what kind of level of interaction did you get from people contacting you yesterday about issues with vehicles?
Yeah, sorry, just to clarify, it's insurancemarket.ae.
Sorry, yes.
We've received a lot of calls. It's immediately just about roadside assistance. And that was a real challenge yesterday because, you know, even the roadside assistance vehicles weren't able to access a lot of parts of Dubai. So, which is why we see cars stranded in the middle of roads all across Dubai and the UAE. Mostly, initially, these are all about roadside assistance. I think as of this morning, we started receiving a huge number of calls around the actual, you know, incident and having that covered at workshops. That's also where, you know, we are trying to manage client expectations because, you know, there will be a huge backlog of repair work at workshops as a result of what happened yesterday. And so, you know, sourcing parts, just having the space to repair vehicles is going to be a bit of a challenge. So, you know, we're trying to work with clients to make this all go away as seamlessly as possible.
Oh, look, we appreciate your frankness there speaking to us this morning. Avinash Barber, founder and CEO of insurancemarket.ae, joining us on the line this morning to talk about car insurance. We appreciate your time.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
We have had quite the day and night, and unfortunately a number of people have seen day and night come together. They have been out on the roads, the UAE, for the last 24 hours. A lot of people feeling the full effects of the record-breaking storm. And it is that as well, made official today. The UAE had its heaviest rainfall on record within the last 24 hours, passing anything since the start of data collection back in 1949. A downpour affecting regions across the country. National Centre of Meteorology confirming that the record rainfall during the 24 hours up until 9 o'clock last night. They have said that more rain is expected later today. However, that's the bad news. The good news is The clouds seem to be parting at the moment. We've got clear skies, certainly up here in Media City and the areas in and around Media City. And hopefully that's coming your way soon as well. That will be just a little ray of sunshine to a number of the homeowners who have suffered within the last 24 hours. And our thoughts go out to each and every one of they. Luke O'Brien is head of operations at Octopus, who I'm sure has seen the phone been ringing off the hook over the last 24 hours. Luke's been kind enough to take a bit of time to speak to us this morning about some of the challenges that they faced and that homeowners will be facing today and in the coming weeks as well. Morning to you, Luke.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Yeah, I started the show by saying it was a little bit shell-shocked. Didn't really know how to kick things off. How do you sort of put this one into perspective?
Oh, it's been difficult for us, especially yesterday. The amount of emergency calls that we received has just been the highest number I've ever seen. And the main issue is getting out to these customers. The roads have just been blocked. We had to stand down our fleet last night around 10 p.m. just because we weren't being able to reach any customers at all. And then it was difficult for the technicians to get home. So a lot of the guys didn't get home till 1 a.m., 2 a.m., some of them 3 a.m. We're trying to regroup this morning. The fleet is scattered across Dubai at the moment in time. Some of the guys had to leave the vehicles. So it has been a really difficult time for us.
Challenging time for you as a business owner. Let's try and put it in perspective. So give me an idea. So if we turn the clocks back a week. So last Tuesday, how many calls would you on average get a day for last Tuesday?
Last Tuesday, probably around 50 to 60 calls, bookings. But then
yesterday
we were probably taking 40 an hour, 50 an hour.
What about the nature of the jobs? What have people been afflicted by?
Oh, we've seen some horrendous jobs, to be honest. Full electrical boards flooded. The conduits lead straight to the roof. So literally people have had water flooding through their electrical boards. So full power outages, water outages. We've seen knee-high deep water flooding from the outside inwards and just not enough to be able to... We've not had any option for these customers until it stops raining. And, you know, safety is the main concern for customers because people send us videos of water coming through the electric board and they're drying it with towels and touching it. And just because the electric's tripped doesn't mean that there's no electric in that electrical board. So we have to tell customers, you know, stop touching the electrical board. Best thing for now is to turn everything off. We can't get teams out there. You have to wait for everything to dry out. And today we're going to try to get to as many customers as we can.
And I mean, how much can you... We're getting so many messages through this morning, Luke, about people, you know, sheltering upstairs because the water's knee deep downstairs, etc. Is there much you can do, you and your team, until the water is pumped?
For knee-high deep, no, there's not much we can do. We have, you know, teams that have submersible pumps so we can try pump the water out of the property. But the issue is that the water is just as high as in the street, so we've got nowhere to pump in. It just floods back in. So we have to wait until the water level goes down. That's, you know, the drainage system that needs to go down as well. And then we can come in and help and check all the electrical systems, plumbing systems, and replace any damaged items.
Until then, okay, let's try and give a bit of practical advice to homeowners out there. A lot of people will be sheltering at home today. They'll be surveying the damage from last night. What's your sort of practical advice to them as to what they can do to make themselves and their families safe today?
You know, at the moment, it is about just staying safe and making sure that electrical systems are switched off if they are wet or, you know, especially on the ground level. You know, try to get teams out there because teams can give power to certain parts of the property to make sure that we've got, you know, at least some AC upstairs, some electrical and lights. You know, that's what we managed to do for a few customers last night and, you know, make sure that they are comfortable as best they can be.
Luke, given your experience and your expertise, is this going to be an insurance nightmare?
Yes. Yeah. You know, even in my property, I've had no leaks over the past few months with the rains. And I go up on the roof and I checked everything and made sure every single thing in my house was sealed properly on the roof. I still had 3 leaks last night in different bathrooms, in the kitchen, you know, water coming through the doors. So, you know, even myself, when I do my own maintenance and I know what I'm looking for, I've obviously, you know, missed things and not done the best.
If the head octopus has had some water coming in, we know that there's been a few. We know it was a storm, that's for sure.
Speaking of not quite knowing, Luke, one of the things that strikes me is that the last time we were speaking to you, we were speaking about the number of new homeowners that we had here in Dubai. A lot of people will be in new properties that they might not be completely used to. I put myself in that. Has that been an issue?
Yeah, definitely. There is preventive measures that you can do, you know, making sure roof drains are unblocked. You know, even to the case of, you know, that your electric system, you know, is trouble. We did have a few customers who called us yesterday and said, can you just come and disconnect my electric? So, you know, we went round to disconnect it so that if it does get wet, it doesn't damage and fuse any of the systems. And once it dries out, we can go around and check, and it will save some of the electrical parts by doing that. So there is things that homeowners can do to, you know, prevent this. But at the same time, like you said, we've not seen this amount of rain before. And, you know, no matter the preventive measures that we've done, it's not been enough for some customers, unfortunately.
We've spoken a lot about the electrical issues out there, and with good reason as well. Got a lot of people also texting in about plumbing issues. Again, just gravity, sheer weight of the water as well. Where's the water going to go? Problems as well, the mixing of sewage as well. Is that something that people are going to have to be dealing with?
Yeah, especially with, you know, with the amount of floor drains we have, you know, in the region, they do push the sewerage backwards, and they're all connected to one main drain line outside. So if that does flood, it does push the sewerage and wastewater back into the property, which can obviously be an issue. With the plumbing systems, we all run on water pumps as well. Mm. So most of the water pumps are outside, and in some places they're underground, which obviously leads to flooding issues, so the pumps can get damaged as well. So the plumbing systems can be a major issue as well for customers.
Luke, I really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much indeed for taking time out to speak to us. Some great advice as well from Luke O'Brien, Head of Operations at Octopus. All the best to you and your team. Hopefully the fleet get back on the road ASAP to help out as many residents as possible around Dubai. Luke O'Brien there of Octopus, just one of a number of maintenance companies that are working their socks. In fact, they're not even wearing socks. There's no point wearing socks today, not on a day like this. It's a barefoot day, that's for sure. But the good news is, and we can bring you good news, it's bright skies, the sun is out, and the waters are receding.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
We are talking insurance this morning. We've been discussing car insurance with insurancemarket.ae. If you missed that, and indeed if you have got a damaged car this morning, that will be up on our podcast after the show. But we're now looking at homes and businesses, speaking to Polo Ogno, who is head of claims at the insurance company GIG Gulf. Polo, it's lovely to speak to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandy.
Let's have a look what you guys at GIG Gulf have heard and seen in the last 24 hours. If we look at claims for businesses and for damage to home and possessions, how big a deal could these storms be?
Well, I think we have been all impressed by the videos and the pictures we have seen in our social media accounts. So it has been quite an unfortunate event and dramatic this time. So we can expect we will have a number of claims this time. When it goes to home, it's important to highlight what is the type of a cover you might have or you might want to get for these claims. Because if it's about the building, which is the insurance most people having mortgages normally have. It's all the damages when you see water leaking or like damaged floors. Because the basic difference between a building and content, to make a very simple illustration, is suppose you have to turn your home upside down. So all what is falling basically is the content, and what is not falling is the building. So buildings are normally insured with a mortgage insurance, but what is important is the content. So people not necessarily normally have a content insurance if they have a building insurance, and the tenants also should get content insurance, which can be get independently of building insurance. So what is covering content insurance is normally damage to your household goods or furniture in case there is a leak and your furniture is damaged, but also to your portable equipment, for example, the laptop, or mobile phones, or even personal belongings. You have bags, for example, or other type of personal items who get damaged. This is very important. Unfortunately, we are still seeing a low penetration of this type of insurance in the region. It's estimated around 10%. And this is a shame because it's easy to get this insurance and is a very good product, and it's really needed in this type of event. And last but not the least, there is another important component, which is the alternative accommodation. So there is a cover that in case your home becomes uninhabitable because of effect of an accidental event. In this case, again, we have seen rich of pictures, you know, with the flooded houses. So in case it's uninhabitable, you can go to an alternative accommodation, and this would be covered. It would be covered with different limits, of course, mm-hmm. so lower in case you have an insurance as a tenant. And if you have an insurance on the building, and suppose your building is renting, you have another interesting cover, which is the loss of rent. So in case you lose some of the rent because the house is heavily damaged and your tenant leaves, then this would also be covered. So this, all this is very important, is this type of natural event.
Okay. Paolo, I'm going to ask you to keep the answers quite brief because I've only got a couple of minutes left with you. For the insurance that you've mentioned there, things like contents particularly, do they cover weather events like yesterday?
Of course they do. Yeah, of course they do. Normally there are only some exclusion in case you have left this content outside, you know, in your garden. But I guess it's not the case in this type of events. Otherwise, all the videos we are seeing with water leaking, damage, for example, to the carpets, if you have content insurance is covered, or to the floor if you have building insurance is covered, or windows leaking if your building insurance is covered. Now, you just have to make sure that for the building, you is enough the building insurance. But if you want the content, you need also to have the content insurance.
But you're saying that the majority of us don't buy the cover. Very quickly, why do you think that is?
I think it's just is something cultural. If you look at insurance penetration across the world, countries is different from country to country. I think, and I hope this will be changing after this round of events. You know, as GOG Golf, we are in the first row to promote this type of products and to educate also our customers on the importance of having this cover and these products. And we really hope to see an uptake of this type of cover after this unfortunate bad weather events.
Super quick, I've got about 30 seconds. What's the turnaround time usually for claims like this? How easy is it for people to claim?
It's extremely easy. So we have multiple channels, so you can report your claim over the phone. You can submit it through our website, digitally online. So and normally, within 24 hours, we will provide you a response with the next steps to be taken. Of course, you know, when you have home claims, insurers normally have different options to settle your claim. So if it's repairable, we will encourage to repair your damaged item. Otherwise, it needs to be replaced. We're encouraged to replace, and we will look probably for a suitable replacement. Or if there's no other chance but just paying the damaged item, then we will pay a cash settlement. We will normally ask for a kind of evidence of the cost of the item, proof of purchase, or if you don't have one, we'll send a loss adjuster and we will assess the damage ourselves. So it's not a problem, but it's normally very fast.
Paolo Ogno, Head of Claims at GIG Golf, speaking to us this morning, GIG Golf, about what we're seeing in terms of insurance claims on the back of the rains yesterday.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.